Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Stefanos Sifandos, who, immersed in deep men's empowerment work and intimate relationship, Steph merges the best of Eastern and Western mythologies and philosophies to promote balance, clarity, and joy in life. Using integrative techniques and methods, Steph has created programs and systems to enhance the quality of your life, your relationship, and in essence, bring you closer to your potential. Hey.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming and talking to me. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I have been starting all of these conversations by asking my guests what adulting or what being an adult means for you.
I love this question. I think it's such a cool question. So for me, it means two things that are one and the same: willingness and high involvement.
That's my favorite answer. Yeah, I don't mean anyone else listening. It's a great answer because I want to ask you questions about it. So tell me more. Tell me what that means for you.
Yeah. So for me, you know, adulting is this, and it's such a beautiful place to be when we're children, right? This innocence, this curiosity, and this exploration that we have, which I feel is so necessary to carry that into our adulthood as well. But adulting for me is, and I learned this the very, very hard way through my own personal experiences, where I wasn't willing and I wasn't highly involved in what I did and who I was in the world. And so willingness can come under many, many different guises. And for me, it's, are you willing to do the hard work? Are you willing to look at your stuff? Are you willing to experience joy? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to receive? Are you willing to be highly involved in whatever it is that you're doing? That's coupled with attention and deep, deliberate intention for movement through the world. And so what it really means is that we're actually giving fucking thought to what we're doing. And we're paying attention to who we wish to be and how we wish to express. And is it serving our highest good and is it serving others? And so willingness and high involvement means just being really present, carrying presence in everything that we do and in all that we are. And in order to do that, to do it well, I call this selfish selflessness, where we simultaneously prioritize ourselves and the well-being of others. And it's a really hard thing to do when you think about it. Like it's almost, and there's, because there's nothing wrong with being selfish in a healthy way, and there's nothing wrong with being selfless in a healthy way. And they both fall on the spectrum, and you can be extremely selfish and extremely selfless, and that's unhealthy as well. Mm-hmm. And so this balance of selfish selflessness, where, and it's really tough to do. Like when you start practicing it and playing with it, it's really challenging because it's like you're considering your needs and you're doing your best to consider the needs of others. And it doesn't mean it's always going to work out where everybody's needs are met. However, we're attempting to. So there's a willingness there and there's a high involvement. Because when we're highly involved, we're highly attentive to what we're doing and who we're being. We're not fucking being mindless, walking through the world with blinkers on.
I love that so much. In my book, I call that selffulness. And it's like mindfulness, but we're like, it, again, it's a very similar idea of balancing these two things. And I just love that explanation because it allows you to be centered in your own world whilst still completely understanding that we're relational beings and that all of it at the end of the day is about connectedness, right?
Yep. Yeah. Mm. I love that term, relational beings. I use that often, so it makes me very happy that you just said that.
There's something that you just said that I wanted to ask you more about. I can't remember what it was now. Oh, yeah. So for me, again, it's all about this idea of union, right? Of like you talked about the balance between being selfish whilst being also mindful of others. Mm. And in my experience, kind of regardless of gender, there's this idea of masculine energy and feminine energy. And everything in my world, at least, and my belief of the way I see it, my experience, is that all of us have
both of those energies within us. They can be really useful to use at different times and to employ in different times. And each of us have got kind of a healthy version and a wounded or an unhealthy version. And I wondered what your take on that was.
It's a massive question and an amazing question as well. And so for me, when we're in a healthy state, so to simplify, when we're in unhealthy states of expression, we're being extreme in our expression. And so with extremity comes volatility, with extremity comes impatience, with extremity comes forcefulness, with extremity can come violence and abhorrence and aggression, and hyper selfishness. And so with that unhealthy extremity, we live in a place of isolation and disconnection. We live in a place of me, what can I get from this? And so that's not always going to be completely useful and helpful to our growth as a collective and as individuals. And so the opposite of that is simply the opposite of that is connection, is unity, is understanding, is compassion, is empathy, is openness as opposed to restriction and constriction, is a mentality or an approach of abundance as opposed to scarcity. And I completely agree with you as well when you speak to masculine and feminine being, they're expressive states that every sentient being holds. And it's really just the two sides of the same coin. And it's how we express in the world. And having a balance of that is important. And, you know, depending on what schools of thought you attune to. So like David Data's work, he would say that men would hold, you know, 70-80% of masculinity, and the rest is feminine traits or feminine expressive traits. I'm paraphrasing here, and it's the opposite for women. And there's something to that, and there's a combination there of collective cultural conditioning and also biology as well. Like our brains are different, men and women. If we're just talking binary gender, just for a moment to simplify the conversation, men and women are hardwired differently. Our hormonal patterns are different as well. And so that influences our behavior. Couple that with culture and thousands of years of a lot of stuff. We do present differently to the world. And at the same time, we're the same. So it's okay to be different because we are fucking different and that we share so many similarities as well, which is really beautiful too. And so I love that. I love dancing in that and moving through that. I think that's really important that we give ourselves the opportunity to be different, like to actually go, yeah, okay, we're different. That's okay. It's okay to be different. And what are our similarities? And how can we leverage our healthy expressive traits of masculine and feminine in contemporary times? And that's a massive question that is being unpacked as we speak. Now we're unpacking it now as an example.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like you and I could talk for hours. I'm trying to control myself and like keep it tuned into like one area, one thing, rather than just going and this and this and this. You mentioned dancing with it, and it was you mentioned it kind of in a, I guess, a metaphorical way. And yet I kind of want to steer us towards embodiment and steer us to, okay, so how do I put this? My experience of really getting to the heart of this work that we're talking about and allowing ourselves to be willing and present comes when we attune to our bodies and when we are stop being walking heads on sticks and start really feeling what's going on. Would you say that you agree with that, or that feels true for you too?
It feels true for me. Yeah, absolutely. Embodiment's a massive part. So that embodiment, being in the body and being visceral in the body and being able to interpret what the body is telling us, because we scan our environment through our enteric system and then being able to interpret that accurately, as accurately as possible, instead of, with layers of conditioning that isn't our own, is so important. So I very much agree with you. Yes.
And is that the... Would you say that that's something that you focus on when you're working? I didn't even ask you whether you work mostly. It's mostly with men that you work, right?
No, actually, it's really okay. Interesting. No, both men and women equally, actually.
Cool. Okay. So when I'm trying to get people into that place of really understanding who they are and promote kind of balance and clarity and joy, for me, it centers in the body, because often what we think we want and what we want or what is true for us are different. And I don't know whether you've got any experience of that in terms of embodiment, or whether there's other ways really to find that balance and clarity, or check in with who we really are when we're perhaps in relationship and we're getting steered off course, we're finding it difficult to communicate. My port of call would always be to come back to the body. And I just wondered what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. And I love to couple that with an integration of heart and mind. And so symbolically and pragmatically, what that looks like is when we lead. So, and I'll focus on men for a moment. And so when, as men, we lead from the heart and we layer that with a consciousness. In other words, you know, we're cognizant beings. We have this ability to future think. We can collapse time and we can expand time just with this thing called the mind. And so when we make decisions in life that are grounded in our sexuality in a healthy way, so in other words, we're not taking this scattergun, because sexuality is life force energy. Sexuality is direction. Sexuality is so much more than just physical sexuality and physical sexual expression, and it's that as well. So at a biological, physiological level, it's that, and it's also so much more. And so when we take that energy, the power of our life force as men, and we don't just think or come from our genitalia, because we're ungrounded, we're just coming from our cocks, and we're not actually grounded in our balls. And that's not healthy for us, because what happens is we're making decisions based on pure biological motives. Again, nothing wrong with that, but when it's not coupled, we live in a far more complex society than we did 400,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and our level of consciousness has also shifted. We can only assume based on what we know. So when we couple that with leading from the heart, in other words, asking what's in my highest good right now in this moment, and what is best for that person as well, and how can I come to this relationship or this dynamic or this particular situation with an open heart, with compassion, with empathy, with clarity, with understanding, with a yearning to serve myself and them. And then we couple that with consciousness and think in the future, what is going to be the best outcome for this moving forward as well? That's a massive difference. And as opposed to just coming from what so many men do in unhealthy ways, is just coming from their cock and just thinking from their cocks. And so in order to do all of that, though, to have that integration, which can be also known as intuition, we have to be embodied. We have to be in the body. We have to feel the body, literally tune in and ask, what is the body saying right now? Because the unconscious self resides in every cell of our body. And so the unconscious self drives so much of who we are. So what we know to be true, our belief systems, who we are, is in the body. So men, women, any sentient being, any conscious sentient being that taps into what is the body saying right now. And it's a practice, right? Like it takes years and years. I mean, monks disappear into the mountains for 50 years to get into this, to get into these embodied states. It's funny. It's like a paradox. Get in the body to get out of the body. It's weird. Get out of the body to get in the body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we negate the power of body, of the physical body. And there's so much value there. So when we start communicating consciously, we ask our body questions. What does our body want and need?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very empowering process.
I love that as an explanation. I think it's so, the way that you use words and the way you talk about it, really helpful, I think, for both genders, or, you know, again, talking binary for now, and to get into that place of integration. And is that something that's always just been clear to you and obvious to you, or have you been on, tell me more about your journey, like how did you get here? How did you get to this place where it sounds and it feels to me, and again, most of my knowing comes from feeling rather than thinking. It feels like it's very integrated for you. Like I can feel that as you talk. Yeah.
Thank you. And I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. And not from a place of heightened ego per se, but more from a place of not from a place of heightened ego and recognition, but more from a place of fuck yeah, I've spent many years in this place. And to answer your question very directly, I have not always been this way. I have and I haven't. So as a child I was really embodied. Mm. And those gifts or those expressions were very stunted because of my environment. I grew up in a very, very is an arbitrary term, but I grew up in a violent, physically and emotionally abusive household. And so a lot of me was repressed. And so I went through these fluxes and these flows. And as a child, I was very repressed and very passive. And as a teenager and as a young adult, I was very overt and violent myself, and always getting into fights, always just hyper aggressive. It was a very intense time, generally speaking. And so with that came a misconstrued understanding of what it meant to be a man and how me as a man, how I would treat myself and how I would treat women. I lived a lot in the shadows and I was unfaithful in most of my relationships. I was disconnected and dishonest in most of my relationships. I was always pursuing this embodiment and I was doing it in a way that was unhealthy and harmful to myself and to others. Mm. And when that came to a head a few years ago, this is a very short condensed version, obviously, I made a decision to be a different man and be a different person, whatever it took. And I put death on the table. I put death on the table. I said, if it physically kills me, I don't care. I'm all in. And that was the first time in my life I went all in into anything. And I mean all in. And I had no choice but to be embodied. I had no choice but to go into the body. I had to feel everything. I had to feel all of my pain. This is something that so many of us don't do. And I'm not saying that pain is the only way for growth and growth being a primary driver for the human condition. And one of the main reason why I believe why we're here is to grow and expand. And synonymous with that is freedom and love and so forth. But where we are collectively as a humanity, we need to experience pain. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to fester in it. But we do learn very well from pain. And it isn't the only way to learn. That is a given. Mm-hmm. For me, my personal journey, I had to go through a lot of pain, a lot of deconstruction of self, delayering self, multiple ego deaths, spiritual deaths, emotional deaths, close to physical deaths, you know, the contemplation of suicide and the almost taking on the action of suicide as well, because it was so overbearing.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't kick myself out of the body like so many of us. And I did for so long is I'll suppress that. I'll forget about that. And I'll distract myself, whether it be with work, whether it be with alcohol, whether it be with women, whether it be with exercise and movement and fitness. You know, I remember I would sometimes train for 8 hours, would move my body for 8 hours, exhaust myself so much. And it was never drugs. It was never really alcohol at all. It was always that. And I would exhaust myself so much. I didn't give myself a capacity to think about my stuff or get into the body in that way, get into the body in a distracting way. And so it wasn't until I made that choice and I became willing, I became highly involved and fully attentive, and I made that choice to be present to everything that was unraveling, was when I really began to make those shifts. And I was also then able to experience the beauty and the wonder of what it meant to be human as well. The desirable states of being, the happiness, the joy, the bliss, the receiving, the deservedness. But I had to, for me personally, my journey was I had to go through a lot of shit, a lot of pain to get there.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for listening.
What's really interesting for me, it's so interesting, you know, I've been in the personal development world my whole life. I've been surrounded by psychotherapists and body practitioners and yoga and Feldenkrais and just all sorts of stuff my whole life. It was a world that I was born into, and you know, my version was to escape it by working in TV and finding drugs and alcohol and a different path in a different way. And when I hear people who say I used exercise to escape, there's a part of me that's like, what, how? Like, you know, why did I not find this healthy way to and I'm doing air quotes, healthy way to engage my body, right? And so I think it's really important for people like yourself to share that you can overtrain, that you can overexercise, that you can go into the body and look like you're engaging and being embodied without actually, without it being willing and without being receptive and about, you know, all of that. So thank you for sharing that, because I think it's really important.
Thank you.
If someone's in that space, if they're in a place of like, they've heard something that you've shared and they're like, oh yeah, I'm playing this out. I've got this aggression. I'm not feeling, and I'm using this to avoid or to numb. Do you have any words of like, I guess, wisdom or advice or encouragement, or, you know, how can they step in, or what would that first step be?
Well, firstly, we think whenever we're in anything that it's permanent, and it's not. We live in a world of impermanence. There is no permanence. The only thing that is permanent is the intangible, and we're so disconnected from the intangible, it's a mute conversation as a collective. So there's no point even talking about it. So everything in this world is, and there's no point in talking about it at this point in time for this conversation, nature of this conversation. Everything's impermanent. So, and when we're in it though, it's like, oh, doom and gloom, the end of the world. Like, literally, are we going to feel sad forever? Are we going to be a failure, air quotes, forever? Are we going to be disconnected forever? Are we going to be in pain forever? And the answer is no, because at some point you'll physically die and the pain will end. So we understand anyway, because consciousness then disconnects from the physical body. The physical body shuts down and the neural system no longer feels. So yes, the pain will end at some point. And so many of us think about suicide or go into that because we want to end the pain. That's very sad, because we don't realize, if we just really realize that it's impermanent. And so in terms of advice, just realizing that it's impermanent and telling ourselves that this is impermanent. But in terms of something tangible, this is really important. And so let's get into the body, because here's the paradox. The quicker, and this is something that training taught me a lot. I've worked with elite special forces soldiers and athletes and world champion fighters and guys that really challenge and push their bodies massively, and women as well, actually, in the fighting world. And so I've learned a lot through that observation and training with them and being with them and coaching through with them and through them. And so we have this ability to take our bodies into amazingly deep places. And that intensity teaches us so much about who we are. And through my own personal experience, I've learned that as well. And so the paradox is that the more we go into the intensity, the shorter it actually is. The more we avoid it, the more it prolongs it. Mm. And so go into the pain and fear. Do some things though. Surround yourself in a safe environment. Be in a familiar, safe environment. Nurture yourself. Be compassionate to yourself. Be mindful of your self-talk. Engage in some breath work. Like, even if the power of pause is so important, like if you're feeling the pain and the overwhelm coming through, take a few deep breaths. Literally just relax the nervous system, relax the physiology. Go dancing, go for a run, go for a walk, have a big glass of water, change your state. It's so important to, and this isn't avoidance. This is mindful. I call it mindful avoidance, but it's not avoidance, because you're attentive to the issue and you're dealing with it deliberately. You're not avoiding it, pretending it doesn't exist. It's the healthy coping mechanisms and strategies so that we can move through it, so it's not so overwhelming. So getting into the body physically, whether it's dancing, whether it's going for a run or a walk, having a glass of water, having something to eat, feeling the body and knowing that it's impermanent, is and doing some breath work, just simple breath work, inhalation, exhalation through the nose, nothing fancy. You can even inhale and exhale through your mouth if you want. But just long, slow, rhythmic, deep breathing to relax the body can completely shift your perspective and how you look at it. Yeah. I mean, if you want to follow some, I have a cyclical process, a 6-step cyclical process that I help people with, and there's some other more advanced methods as well, but the 6-step is really simple. And part of that is breathing, part of that is relaxing, part of that is surrounding yourself with people that support you, that you trust, respect, and revere. That's so important as well. And so these are things that we can do to help us move and shift that pain, especially as men. Men are so reluctant to reach out. You've got to fucking reach out. You've got to surround yourself with people that you care about, that care about you. You've got to put your ego aside and you've got to reach out and know that you're held. Basic human need and premise: to be known, to be seen, to be heard, to be felt, to be heard, to be understood. Yeah. And we want to reciprocate that. And when we don't give people the opportunity to do that for us, we're actually doing them a disservice. And so with men, it's so imperative that we reach out. That's a big part of it as well.
Thank you. If people want to come find out about the 6-step process that you mentioned, or more about you, more about the work that you do and the different ways that they can get involved, where's the best place for them to come?
Yes, my YouTube channel, Steph Sefandos, but it will be Stephanos Sefandos very soon. I'm changing all my handles. I'm just going back to my full name. I'm actually finding, being here in America, I live here now in the US, people struggle to pronounce my name, Steph, but they find it easy to pronounce Stephanos, which is my full name anyway. So I'm just going back to all that. So anyway, Stephanos Sefandos, my YouTube channel. You'll find the 6-step cyclical process there under live video feeds. You'll scroll down, you'll see it. I think it was early this year, March this year.
We'll find it and we'll put it in the show notes. It's really easy for people to click through to.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome. We will make sure that anything that we mentioned that is referenceable will stick in, so that I'm so lucky. Jasmine will do it for me. Yes.
Amazing.
Will you share an I'm an adult but with me?
Yeah.
Sprung it on you now. I can try and find one first.
I forgot about it. No, I like it. I forgot about the question. That's all right. We'll finish with this. So I am an adult, but and however, I can definitely be a brat and I can definitely get into that victim. What about me? It was a pattern where I grew up. And what about me? What about me? What about me? I can play that victim all day long. And when I get out of it, I look at myself and I go, that was a waste of time. And what I learned from it. So it wasn't so much of a waste of time. But I can be a sook sometimes.
Thanks for that. It's, I am an adult, but... and I'm an adult and a coach who talks about like, oh, are you in Malta all the time? But it takes one to know one. So I'm an adult, but I can be a massive Malta and like really play kind of woe is me and Eeyore. And like, you know, I'm all love and light and let's find the lessons and all the rest of it. But from time to time, there are no fucking lessons and it's all out to get me. Keep breathing. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm deeply honoured and very appreciative.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.